I'm not a big college football guy, but I'm big enough to have it on at our house over the weekend. And this weekend, the biggest college football game of the year is going to be on. I've asked a couple people just to walk us through a couple of nuts and bolts on this, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to be somewhere, the game's going to be on, and if you're like me, you don't really dive into this stuff, it would be nice to have some appreciation of it. Kevin Powell, it's Alabama and LSU, right?
It's a big one, John.
I also asked Sam Panionovich, who knows a little bit about this, to join us on the phone. Hi, Sam, how are you?
King John, doing well. Actually, I can't stop thinking about your last guest when she asked you, did you play sports? I thought that was a really good moment in your show.
I did too.
Why do you think that was a really good moment on my show?
It was just funny because you didn't, I don't think you expected that. It was pretty great, but they don't know about your kicking acumen. They don't know how good you were in college.
I was a field goal kicker for the Joliet Junior College Wolves.
This is my favorite call of the day, by the way. Keep going.
Go Wolves.
We didn't have a lot of success with me out on the pitch, but out on the field. But it wasn't always my fault. The one time it was really rainy, and when the kid put the ball down for me to kick, he laid it down like an egg, flat. I was kicking the ball sideways. It bounced off the lineman in front of us.
It's a good effort, though.
I didn't back off. I didn't grab the ball and run for it. Of course, I was just a skinny little fella. But we were the number one nationally ranked football team in the country for junior colleges at the time. Couldn't get the ball off the ground.
But the only problem with that is you didn't get a chance to go on Good Morning America when you missed that kick like Cody Parkey did. Could have been better. So, no, you brought up LSU and Bama, and I think Kevin would agree. You know, this college football season, week number one, you had a couple really good games. You had Oregon and Auburn. I believe it was LSU and Texas. But since then, a lot of these really good teams have really not played anybody. Alabama has not really played anybody this year. Clemson hasn't played anybody. Ohio State's schedule has been very easy, and they scored, I think, 50 on Northwestern when they came to Evanston. So it's going to get hot and heavy late in the season. They have Ohio State and Penn State coming up, too. That will realistically decide the Big Ten. But LSU, Bama, I mean, you're talking about two top three, top four teams, depending on who you ask, Vegas or the Bowl Makers. This is going to be a showdown with a lot of NFL talent on both sides of the field. And right now, Las Vegas says Alabama is about 6 points better. I tend to disagree. I think it's going to be a much closer game.
What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. But yeah, as Sam mentioned, 6.5. So Vegas feeling big on Bama. It is at Alabama. LSU has a quarterback, and so does Alabama in Tua, who's been out with an ankle injury, but he's expected to play. He's probably going to be the first quarterback selected in the draft.
Both is he the Hawaiian kid?
He is.
Or Samoan. I think he's Hawaiian, isn't he? Or from Hawaii? Now, he's this terrific quarterback. Am I right about that?
He's the kid. Yeah, Tagovailoa is the one that came in. He was a true freshman when Alabama was losing to Georgia in the national championship. And then he came in cold the second half, and they came back and they beat Georgia, won the national championship. And he was really the top, you know, contender. We thought coming into the season it'd be Tua and then Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. Those would be the two front runners for the Heisman Trophy, best player in college football. But the front runner right now is, ironically enough, LSU quarterback Joe Burrow. And that's really been the issue for LSU over the years. They've always had a really good defense with a lot of playmakers. They have good running backs and good receivers, but they never had a quarterback that could throw the ball down the field. And that's certainly what Joe Burrow does well. Not to mention Alabama, defensively, they're not as strong as they've been in years past. They don't have four or five NFL guys on this roster on defense. So this should be a shootout. This could be like 38-35. I think if you're going to watch one game this year, you should watch this one, LSU and Alabama.
Yeah, to your point earlier, Sam, with the scheduling, college football, for a while, people were frustrated because all these Power 5 teams were scheduling cupcakes in the early weeks, and everyone's like, well, why would you start your season like that for the fans? And teams started scheduling big-time programs early on in the season. But, yeah, as you said, we haven't seen any real great matchups over the past few weeks. This is a big one. The LSU's one in the AP Top 25. Bama's two. But what really matters is the college football playoff rankings. The top four get into the playoffs right now. It's Ohio State one. I still think the Buckeyes are going to win the national title. But Ohio State's one, LSU two, Bama three, and Penn State's four. So two Big Ten teams right now, if it ended today, would be in the college football playoffs. That's going to change. Sam, I don't know how you feel. How much is even going to change in these rankings? I guess unless there's a blowout one way or another, I think they both remain in. Maybe the loser drops out, but they're still very much in the playoff picture, both of these teams. But winner has a clear path to the SEC championship game and a spot in the playoff.
Yeah, this stuff will change, and it'll balance itself out. After LSU plays Bama, if one of them looks decidedly better, then they might drop the one out of the four. I mean, it might happen. And then when Ohio State and Penn State play, that loser will drop out. But don't forget, and I, you know, it's funny, nobody talks about Minnesota this year.
Yeah.
And P.J. Fleck, they are undefeated right now with a huge home game this weekend against Penn State. I mean, that's, you talk about a coach getting a leaping win. And when I say a leaping win, to go from, you know, stone one to stone two in the building of a program. I mean, these guys are playing really good football. They've got a really, they got like three running backs that they use, and they're all serviceable in different ways. They have a good defense. That'll be an interesting game. So I think Minnesota's going to hang around against Penn State. That could get interesting.
And Minnesota has a right tackle that, I'm not kidding, is 400 pounds. He's like 6'8", 410 pounds.
Kevin.
They're getting no respect, too, Sam. They're 17th. They're 8-0, and they're 17th. There are multiple teams with have multiple losses ahead of them in the polls. But
people don't even go to their games. You watch the crowd at a Minnesota game, there's nobody there. And they've got this good team this year. Kevin, do you agree with Sam? 70 points scored Alabama and LSU? Going to be a shootout?
I don't know if shoot. I think the winner will be in the 30s. I'll put it that way, I guess.
And just one more thing, guys, and then we'll move on. So what's the most interesting thing? Is it, will the LSU quarterback be better than the Alabama defense? Is that the where the game hangs?
I think much of the conversation leading up to it with Tua, the Bama quarterback, and his ankle, and Burrow in the Heisman conversation, to me that's the biggest thing to look at, is which quarterback outplays the other.
Is that where you are, Sam Panjanovic?
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I think LSU's defense is definitely better than Alabama, better than Alabama's defense. And LSU, if their quarterback is the real deal, this is the time to prove it. We've seen over the years quarterbacks that can throw accurately, like Johnny Manziel, Jacob Fromm, Trevor Lawrence, they can beat Alabama, because all you have to do is get the ball to skilled players in space, and then they make one guy miss and they're gone. LSU has plenty of those guys. And they have an accurate quarterback.
And for any Bears fans crossing their fingers that the Bears might land one of these quarterbacks, you can give up on all that hope, because the Bears don't have a first-round pick next year. So as much as you may want to watch and think about one of these guys.
Yeah, but wasn't Mitch Trubisky one of these guys of his year? I mean, Trubisky was number two in the draft. Everybody thought, wow, let's get that hot quarterback. Are you guys convinced that these guys are going to be stars in the NFL?
I don't think Tua is going to be all that good. I don't know how Sam feels. I just don't. I just don't like his. I watch him and he doesn't wow me. I'll just say that.
How about you, Sam?
Are we talking about Trubisky still?
No. You can apply the same to him.
Well, that's my point. I think it's hard to know. I think the evidence is clear. You get guys that get drafted and then they're busts in the NFL.
For sure. I mean, and that's why I always make the case when people rip teams for trading away draft picks. I go, I don't know if you could put an exact number on it, but a majority of draft picks will be busts, especially in the NFL, where guys last for just a couple of years. It's teams that prioritize draft picks more than getting proven talent, I think, are doing it the wrong way.
Last comment
for
you, Sam.
There are a couple quarterbacks that I think it's interesting every year, because we have these conversations about which quarterbacks are, you know, in the first 5 picks or 10 picks or whatever, and then you look at Russell Wilson, who was a third-round pick out of Wisconsin after he went to North Carolina State. I like a couple other quarterbacks that are off the board. I like this Justin Fields at Ohio State. He's not draft eligible this year. And I also like the quarterback at Washington, Jacob Eason, who went to Georgia. I mean, you can find quarterbacks at any part of the country. You got to just find the right one and develop them the right way.
Is Jacob Eason related to Tony Eason?
I believe that's his son, yes. And Tony Eason, of course, was needed QB on the Patriots.
He was a good quarterback. By the way, Sam, you sent me an article that says Indiana sports books, right across our little state line where they have sports betting and we don't, right, hit more than $90 million in wagers in October. Am I reading that right?
You're reading that correct. Now, they didn't make $90 million. That's just the amount of handle, the entire state of Indiana. That's not just the horseshoe in Hammond. That's the entire state. But they wrote $91 million in tickets. Total profit was 11.5. So that's a lot of money for the state that they didn't have going into October, right? They make $11.5 million. And I saw the sports betting numbers at the Horseshoe in Hammond, which is, as you know, you could walk there from Chicago if you wanted to on the east side down there. Their handle was about $11 million written. And a lot of that business is coming across state lines.
So the state, Sam, just to be clear, took in $11 million from tax revenue?
That's what they made. That's the profit. That's the profit in October. Indiana made $11.5 million sports betting. But I think the bigger number.
Yeah.
In the month, yeah. $11.5 million in 1 month. And the handle is That's a big handle. $91 million in bets wagered. That's a lot of money.
It's not hard, Illinois. It's not hard.
All right. Hey, Sam Paniadovich, thanks for your time today, my friend.
Hey, you have fun tonight.
What am I doing tonight?
I don't know. Just have fun, whatever you're doing.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate the call. I mean, I'm planning on having fun tomorrow, too. But, yeah, I guess I'll start tonight.
It's Friday night, John. Let's get after it.
Well, you can tell him my life is less interesting than it used to be. Friday night, I should have plans. I'm thinking, wait, what am I? You know what I'm doing? I'm going to hear some jazz tonight. So there's my bright side. I'm already looking forward to it. I have something else we need to cover. Elif, we got one break, right? We'll take it now and come back. And it's just the beginning of a conversation we'll have next week. We'll do the bright side after the news at 2:30. The rules of the road. There was another bicycle automobile fatality. We had a couple of them in the Ravenswood neighborhood in the last few weeks, and I think there have been five in the state this year. So that's not a lot, or maybe it was in the Chicago area. But I think a lot of us, as there are more and more bicycles on the road, are having questions about who has the right of way in certain situations.